Our message this morning is found in Psalm 66, verses 15 through 20. Psalm 66, verses 15 through 20. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I just thank you. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of your word. God, I just thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the death on the cross. God, I thank you for prayer. I thank you that you hear prayers, that you answer prayers. God, I thank you that you are here today, that you speak to us, that you encourage us. God, that you are here on our mess. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. God, I just pray that you would just encourage us, that you speak to us. God, that you, whatever business that would need to be done, God, that would it would be done. God, and I pray, God, that we would hear your word, God, that any distraction, anything that would pull our mind, pull our heart, God, that would be taken away. God, I pray that I speak with clarity, that the message would be clear, God, that it would be heard clear. God, for those who are here, those are listening online, and those who listening later, God, it would just be received with clarity and understanding. And God, I pray that you get the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 66, starting in that 15th verse, says, I shall offer to you burnt offerings of fat beasts with the smoke of rams and the offering of bull with male goats. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. And if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard and given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. I have entitled the message, Preparing Our Prayers. And so, one of the things today, especially with YouTube and TikTok, it is easy to think that we can become master chefs. But I think the reality of it is it's very difficult to be a master chef. It's very easy to watch someone on YouTube or TikTok cook a very complex meal, and do very intricate things and maybe butcher a chicken or a duck or even some complex other animal, or they slice it in such a way, or they take a vegetable and they cut it up a very specific way, or they cook it off, and maybe they have the right knife, or they have a very sharp knife, and it looks very easy. And we watch it, especially if they're very skillful, and we think because we've watched a YouTube video that we can do it. And what we don't realize is that there's years that have went into it, years of training and times of failing, times of error, trial and error, and just trying out, does this work? Does doing it this way work? Does cooking it on this heat work? Does cooking it for this long work? Does work using this wine, or does this herb, or trying it this way or that way. They've done all these things, and they've all these years of exploration and trying, and then oftentimes we get to try the finished products of the master chef, and a lot of times we try to jump ahead and just watching a YouTube video or even looking at a cookbook and not realizing that there was years of preparation. And so it is even the same with our prayers, is that sometimes we want to just jump ahead to just the getting the answer for prayer, and not realizing that there is preparation with our prayer. And really, that's our first point this morning, is there is preparation in our prayers. And if you've been with us on Wednesdays in Leviticus, one of the things you realize is that when there was an offering, there was a lot of preparation that went in to this offering. You look at what the worshiper did when they brought in the offering. And so what we're looking at here in 66, verse 15, it talks about bringing a burnt offering of fat beasts, okay? The smoke of rams and the offering of bulls and of male goats. We think they're talking about a sin offering, or particularly it's called an ascending offering. So it's an offering that's specifically dealing with sin. So you're talking about what's going on there in Leviticus chapter 1, okay? And so there in Leviticus 1, the worshipers, and so we're not for sure, but I think we're talking about Leviticus 1, but the worshiper has a lot of work. They would have to bring in the animal, and they would have to go into the courtyard, and they would have to kill the animal, and then they would have to butcher the animal, and they would have to cut the animal up in parts, and they would have to skin it, and they would have to wash it and clean it, and then they would have to, after all of that, and that a bull, if they were to use a bull, imagine how big a bull is. This is not something that would be done in 10 minutes. It would take quite a while, and so it would take some time to do this. And this is all the worshiper. This is the person who's bringing the offering. This is something that they had to do. This wasn't something that the priest did. This is something that the worshiper would have to do. And so that they would have to prepare, and they would have to do this. And there was a ritual that they would have to go through in all of this before they brought this to the priests. And then they brought it to the priests, they would share with the priests what their sin was. They would tell the priests, this is my sin. But you had all these things going on, and you'd have the noise of the animals, and you'd have the smell of the offering going on there, and you'd have this aroma, and you'd have these things, and you would hear the priest praying, and you'd have all these different things going on. But also, even before this, the person would have to prepare themselves mentally and spiritually. And so there would have to be a preparation that would have to be made, that they would have to be prepared just to bring this. And then also they would have to the worshiper would have to vocally make this tell this priest what they did. And here we even see it. I'm telling the priest. And so, to think about this in a modern context, how do we look at this and say, okay, that's fine. Well, that's the Old Testament. We no longer have to bring bulls or rams or, lambs or goats, and all that is true. But how do we prepare? How do we prepare our prayers? Are we just gonna, hey, when the time comes, are we gonna throw up the proverbial Hail Mary? Oh, you know what? I'm in trouble. I need to get a prayer up. But here's the thing, even to throw up the proverbial Hail Mary, using a football analogy, guess what? To throw up that proverbial Hail Mary, guess what? You still have to be in the game at the end to throw it up. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. to throw that, down the field, you have to still be in the game. Guess what? They had to be prepared. They had to play defense. They had to score points up to that point in order for that long pass to make sense. And in the same way, we have to prepare our lives. We have to spend some time in scripture, okay? We have to spend time in prayer with God. We have to spend time speaking to God and just daily life, okay? Pretty hard to get a prayer up if we haven't prayed in 6 months. If we're just going to be honest, if you haven't prayed in 6 months, all of a sudden now you're in big trouble. You need to get a prayer up. For whatever reason, you've sinned, you're just in a bad place, and you haven't prayed in 6 months. And now you're like, oh, I really need to get a prayer up. And you haven't prayed in 6 months. How's that going to go for you? It's kind of hard, okay? It's a bit like you're out of practice, you know? It's like if you haven't went to the gym in 6 months or a year, how does it work out? Typically, if you haven't went to the gym in in 6 months or a year, after the next day after the gym, you're pretty sore. And so it can be tough. Sometimes, we forget the words, or we feel awkward, or we don't want to pray. We run away from it, okay? We're ashamed. So there's little things we do in preparation. It's these small things. I'm not saying you need to pray for hours a day. But if we have short times of prayer, short times and spending time in the Word, we spend time with other believers. I think that's one of the things that we really get wrong as a modern Christians is we tend to read the Bible through Western eyes, but we also tend to read it through very individualistic lens. And you look at scripture, and they tend to be very communalistic. They tend to be very community oriented. And so, make sure that you're preparing your prayers, that you're preparing your life to get a prayer through. That you're spending time in prayer, that you're spending time in the Word, that you're spending time around other Christians. Brings us to our second point. And actually, this is probably going to help us just as much as this first one, okay? Abstaining from sin and wickedness, okay? Verse 18. He says, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. That's tough. He says, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. This is a tough one. He's basically saying, don't commit sin. And now, a lot of people are like, well, we have examples of people who commit sin and God answers their prayer. Yeah, do you really want to see if you can be the exception and not the rule? I mean, if good luck with that. If you want to try to be the exception and not the rule, I wouldn't want to be. I would follow the plan of scripture and try not to find the loophole, okay? Because it's very clear here. If I regard wickedness in my heart, he's saying, if I regard sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He's saying, not only saying, do not commit sin, but don't entertain it in your mind. Just don't go out and do it, but don't even think about it. Don't even like entertain it. Don't let it just, because if you begin to entertain it, what happens? You go do it. This is why people, not that I'm a huge Joyce Meyer fan, because not to pick on her, but I think some of her teaching is not like the best theology. But this is why she writes books. This is the battlefield, it's the battlefield of the mind, because if you start thinking about it, you'll do it. It begins in your mind. So do not entertain it in your mind, because eventually you'll do it. If you're not thinking about the, if you don't wrestle with it in your mind, you don't think about it, you're not going to go do it. That's why the psalmist, he's saying here, if I regard it in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. This is why we have to deal with our thought patterns and our thought processes. If we start dealing with our thought processes and our patterns, and we develop healthy thought processes and healthy thought patterns, it will greatly help us as believers and Christians. When we have unhealthy thought processes and unhealthy thought patterns, it will lead us in really unhealthy decisions and emotions, and it will lead us astray, and it will lead us into sin and wickedness, and just into just unhealthy places. So here's the thing: sin can hinder our prayers. If we're honest, sin hinders prayers. So, while we're preparing our prayers, we got to understand that sin hinders our prayers. Because what is the point of a prayer? We want God to hear our prayer. And if we want God to hear our prayer, we got to understand that sin hinders prayer. So the point, if we say, "Hey God, I want you to hear my prayer," but not only that, do we want God to hear our prayer, but really, what is what we want God to answer our prayer. So if we want God to hear our pr answer our prayer, we want Him to hear it. But God's not gonna, if sin hinders our prayer, well, then we probably shouldn't sin. We want to make sure that we're having, unhindered prayers. So we want to abstain. Now, I'm not saying that, we're not going to have times where we sin, or we're not going to have time, or we're going to have these times when we sin. Well, then, we repent, we change direction. Okay, I'm not saying that we won't have those times. Okay, but I'm talking about these patterns, and we get in those cycles. We got to stop those things, because it will hinder our prayers. To abstain from wickedness. Okay. Again, it's preparing our prayers. Our third point: God hears the prayers of righteous and contr the prayer of a righteous and contrite person. Verses 19 and 20. But certainly God has heard, and He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor His loving kindness from me. So let me just say this: righteousness is not based on on our own opinions or ideas. Okay, our righteousness is not based on what I think righteousness is. It's not based on what your friends think righteousness is. Righteousness is not based on what the world thinks righteousness is based on. Okay? Righteousness is really based on what God thinks righteousness is based on. And too often, we want to base righteousness on what we think it is. And if we're trying to prepare our prayers so that God will hear them, we better make sure that we understand what righteous is, because if we're basing our own righteousness on our own thoughts, on our own abilities, well, the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. So I think we need to figure out what righteousness is. So righteousness in the Old Testament is really based on adherence to the law, okay? And really, this is what the psalmist is talking about. And so the psalmist here, they're wrestling. The community's wrestled with sin, okay? And so In the Old Testament, very much sin is a not only just an individual problem, it is a community problem. And as such, you have to go make an offering to make sure that they don't drive the presence of the Lord away from the community. So you have to go make this offering that you don't drive the presence of God away from the community. So you not only do you have to get right with God, but you have to make sure that you don't drive the presence of God away from the community. And so, but there's also this adherence. So very much adherence to the law is very much an individual, but it's also a community thing. And so your disobedience can affect the community. And you see it time and time again in the Old Testament when an individual sin affects the whole community. We don't think like that as modern Christians. We don't think like that, particularly in the West. We tend to think my sin affects me and me only. But I think if we're willing to be honest, acknowledge my sin, your sin affects much more than you. The New Testament righteousness, okay? Our righteousness is based upon Jesus' death on the cross. But not only just that, okay? So a lot of times we'll say, oh, my righteousness is based upon Jesus' death on the cross. It is. But it's also based upon faithfulness to biblical living, okay? You're not just righteous because Jesus died on a cross, okay? Because if that was the case, then the world would be righteous. No. We're not, you can't just be righteous because you try to adhere to biblical standards, because we can't just do that on our own. We're righteous because Jesus died on the cross and we faithfully adhere to biblical living, what we read in the New Testament. So as we're preparing our prayers, as we're living out our faith, as we're praying to God, as we're reading scriptures, we're spending time in community, as we're abstaining from sinfulness, we're preparing our prayers, then God hears our prayers, okay? But again, our righteousness is not based on ourselves. It's based on scripture. It's based on what Jesus did. Okay. So here's our big idea. We must prepare our heart and mind for prayer. Because there's going to come times when we have to get prayer. There's going to come a time when we have to pray. Okay. The Bible says that we should pray at all times. Okay. And that we should pray for all people, right? But then I'm in, but there's going to be a time when we really have to pray for someone. Someone's really going through something, or that we really have to have some intercessory prayer, that we're really going through something. And we have to get a prayer out, or we have to really pray for someone. Okay. And we can't be like, oh, I haven't prayed for 6 months. I'm just not in a good place mentally. I'm not in a good place spiritually to pray. Well, I really have to work through some gunk. I really have to dig out of this hole spiritually to pray. No, we just need to be in a place where we can pray. We should have already be prepared, okay, for that. We should always be ready. That's why the Bible says we should be ready says in season and out of season. What that's saying, we should just always be in season. Essentially. So here's the thing. I got some paper in the back. And I want to make it very practical here today, okay? There's three things that I want us to walk away and do today. Some of us, I think all of us, there's just something that we need to give to God, okay? And it might be, there might be some unforgiveness that we have. There might be a hurt. There might be just some anger that we just need to give to God. Okay, you're going to write it on, there's some sheet of paper. I want you to write it up, okay? And then on the way out, just throw it in the trash. No one's going to look at it. We'll throw it out right away, okay? Another one is I want you, someone that you're praying for, okay? Someone that you're praying for that you're going to put up here, and then we'll pray for them tomorrow during prayer. And then something you're praying for yourself, take that with you, all right? But th there's pens back there, and then and so what is one thing that you're giving to God today? Who are you praying for? And what thing are you praying for in your life today? So let's just go ahead and pray, then you guys can go back and grab that. Lord, we just thank you. God, we just thank you for the word. Lord, we thank you, God, that we can prepare our prayers. God, that you hear us. God, and that you answer. God, and we ask that you just bless us, that you keep us. Lord, that you watch over us. God, and that you hear our prayers. God, and I just ask that you just bless us now. And I just ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.